Reviewing the September 2017 Watchtower Study Edition for the week of November 13th through 19th. This is the JW Review. So we're going to continue looking at the September 2017 Watchtower Study Edition, and we're going to look at the article, The Word of Our God Exerts Power. And the primary thrust of this article is, of course, a continuation of the previous article that we looked at last week. And it's more talking about how to apply God's Word in your life and in your ministry. And there are some pretty subtle points here that I think we need to take a closer look at. But by and large, there's a lot that we can agree with in this article. But one thing I will say here in terms of what's really missing is Jesus. Jesus is not mentioned one time in this whole single article, even though you will find that in the scriptures that are cited, if you read the context of those scriptures, Christ is all over it. There is one section towards the end of the article where I will show you where Christ is mentioned, but it's more in a sidebar discussion where it's talking about someone's personal story. So let's go ahead and jump in and look at paragraph 2. Should we be surprised that many in the modern times have made remarkable changes as a result of studying God's Word? Not at all. Such experiences remind us of the first century brothers and sisters who had a heavenly hope. After listing a number of types of people who will not inherit God's kingdom, the Apostle Paul added, "This is what some of you were, but they had changed with the help of the Scriptures and of God's Holy Spirit." So let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, because you're probably wondering, well, what does this scripture have to do with a heavenly hope? So here in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, it reads, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" So the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that only the heavenly class, those who are going to heaven, are going to actually inherit the kingdom of God. And so that's why they say that this text is referring to the first century Christians who had a heavenly hope, because there were none in that time who had the earthly hope, as they call it. "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." So notice here that Jesus is a crucial part of this text, but notice here that Jesus is not even mentioned in the context of this statement in paragraph 2. It says, "But they had changed with the help of the Scriptures and of God's Holy Spirit." But why not mention Jesus? You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, so why not mention that? But let's go back to the inheriting of the kingdom of God. So is it really true that only the heavenly class inherit the kingdom of God? Well, the answer is no, first and foremost, because there are not two separate classes of Christians. But even within the Watchtower's own theology, it's actually inconsistent, because all Christians, in particular, even those with an earthly hope, inherit the kingdom. Look at Matthew 25, 34, because this is referring to all of the sheep as opposed to the goats. And it says of the sheep, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" So this is talking about, even within the Watchtower's own view, this is talking about those with an earthly hope. So really, it makes no sense to go to a text like 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 and say that somehow referring to a specific class of Christians. Well, no, it's referring to all Christians. all Christians, you can say, such were some of you, because you were sanctified. You're not what you used to be. You have changed. You have changed through Christ and through the Holy Spirit, and maybe as a result of reading God's Word, whatever it may be. This is referring to all Christians. So let's skip down here to paragraph 7. What can help us to make use of God's Word in our ministry? A first step is to use it liberally when we preach and teach. One brother expressed the matter this way: if you were preaching from house to house with Jehovah himself, would you do all the talking, or would you let him speak? His point was, when we read directly from God's Word in the ministry, we are letting Jehovah speak to the householder. A well-chosen scripture will likely be much more powerful than anything we might say. Ask yourself, do I look for every opportunity to share a portion of God's Word with those to whom I bring the good news? So this is excellent advice. There's not much that I can say here in a criticism, but what I will say is, I don't think this is most often the case. I'm glad the Watchtower is recommending this approach, but it's no secret that the publications take a front and center approach in the ministry, because maybe on your first visit, or Jehovah's Witness's first visit to you, if you're the household owner, I suppose, then they might just have a Bible in their hand, and they might read a scripture and ask you to think about it. But I've had plenty of experiences where the magazine is front and center, because especially if it's one of the Watchtowers was talking about the end times, or you know what's going on in the world today, some type of current event focused thing. That's oftentimes what's presented first, in such a way to where the person at the door can maybe relate to the Jehovah's Witnesses, because sure, everyone has questions about what's going on in the world today, and all the evil that's going on, and what direction things are going in. So I would say that in reality, this is not always the case, nor can it be the case all the time, because I guarantee you, if a Jehovah's Witness says that I only want to use the Bible in ministry, I don't want to use any of the publications for whatever reason, then that's not going to work. The elders are going to have a talk with that Jehovah's Witness and say, well, no, you do have to make use of the publications, especially when you start a Bible study with the individual. You've got to use the publications. So while this is great advice here, I don't think it's advice that is always practiced. So let's go over to paragraph 10. Many have found that using God's Word in the ministry can have a profound impact on those to whom they preach. Consider an example. A brother made a return visit on an elderly gentleman who had read our magazines for a number of years. Instead of presenting the latest issue of the Watchtower, the brother decided to read a scripture found in that issue. He read 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, which says, "The Father of tender mercies and the God of all comfort comforts us in all our trials." The householder was so moved by those words that he asked our brother to read the scripture a second time. The man mentioned how much he and his wife needed comfort and how he showed interest in the Bible's message. So let's actually go read the whole thing in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. So only a portion here was quoted. And I think it's important that you look at the verses either preceding it or after it to see if the thought actually continues to a point that's very crucial. And in this case, it's very important that you also look at verse 5. I'd be baffled as to the reason why a Jehovah's Witness reading this to someone who needs comfort to leave out verse 5. Because it reads here, starting in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Here's the key: "For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." So Christ is completely integral to the comfort mentioned in this verse, yet it's completely left out of here. And so you've got to wonder, if you're one of Jehovah's Witnesses, why is this being left out? Is Christ your comfort, or is he not? Let's go on to paragraph 12. This is later on in the paragraph. When a talk is based on an outline provided by the organization, study the outline and the scriptures it uses. Try to understand the connection between the statements in the outline and the cited scriptures. Then use selected scriptures to teach the points in the outline. So this is kind of going back to what I was saying about a few paragraphs ago, where I talked about how it was great advice to recommend Jehovah's Witnesses use the scriptures and use them liberally and make those front and center. But here we have these outlines that you are required to hold to, because it says to try to find and understand the connection between the statements in the outline and the cited scriptures. But what if it turns out that the outline does not jive with the scriptures? Well, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, that's not even an option. You have to find a connection, because you're required to believe everything that the Watchtower puts in print. So this is actually not good advice. Don't try to find the connection. I think you need to analyze it a little more critically than that, because these are fallible, error-prone men who are writing these articles, and so you should test what they say against the scriptures. And if it turns out that there is not a good connection, then you need to throw it out and you need to hold to what the scriptures say. But you're just not given that option. So lastly, here's the part where this is the only place where Jesus is mentioned in this entire article. And it's really, if you can see here, is actually a sidebar where it's just talking about someone's personal experience. And, you know, in a lot of these articles that fail to mention Jesus even one time, which I'm finding to be somewhat regular in these articles, the only way you're going to find Jesus is to read the scripture. So it's so interesting that all these scriptures are cited, and I've just given you at least one example, to where Jesus is crucial to the context of that passage. So, yeah, if you want to find Jesus in the articles, you actually have to read the Bible. Isn't that interesting? So here in this little sidebar, side story, the person says, "I was unable to sleep that night. I still doubted that Jehovah could love me, but I began thinking about Jesus' ransom sacrifice. All of a sudden, it dawned on me that Jehovah had been patient with me for so long, showing me that he loved me in so many ways." So that's great. That's wonderful. I'm glad that this person was impacted by Jesus' sacrifice. But it's just a shame that this is just the only place where Jesus is mentioned in this whole article. So that concludes here with the article. And then next week, we're going to hopefully look at the article, "Be Courageous and Go to Work." So I'll leave it at that. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email me through the website or leave me a comment. So see you next time. Thank you. For more information about Jehovah's Witnesses and other topics, please visit michaeljfelker.com. There you can also reach me directly to submit questions or comments to be covered on the JW Review. To subscribe to this podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the JW Review.